Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thank you for joining me on episode 126 of Lakers Carpool, where we're talking all things Lakers basketball. We're two games into the season. Lakers find themselves at 1-1 after beating the Suns 100-95 in a game that was a little frustrating. The Suns playing without Devin Booker or Bradley Beal, only had Kevin Durant, plus their rotation guys and their role players. They came out to play. The Lakers came out a little flat, but the Lakers pull out the win, 100-95. We're going to talk a little bit about the Lakers-Suns game. We're going to recap that game. We're going to do a little quick preview of tonight's game against the Kings. I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon. Wanted to get an episode out after the Suns game, but before the Kings game, but, you know, life got in the way a little bit. So we're here. We're talking Lakers basketball, and we're going to just jump right on into it. You know, before the Suns game, I put out a tweet and I think an Instagram story to get you guys to send some texts on your pregame thoughts before the Suns game, in-game thoughts, postgame thoughts. I did get one response, so that's something. I'll take it. You know, I appreciate the response. We got a text that came in, but this was before the game started. So we're just going to, I'm going to start there, and then we're going to jump into the game and talk about the game. The text says, "Angry Lakers fan here from Lakers World Order TM Basketball on YouTube. I honestly believe we should beat the Suns. Now, will we? Remains to be seen. If Torian Prince is our best player again, it's not happening. AD got to step up." 100% agree. And I talked about this a little bit on the last episode previewing the Suns game, that like there's no, with Bradley Beal and Devin Booker not playing, there's no excuse for the Lakers to not win that game. Kevin Durant's a great player, and he sure can lead a team to victory on his own. But when you have LeBron and Anthony Davis and a healthy, overall healthy team outside of like Jared Vanderbilt and Cam Reddish, who's dealing with a little bit of something, there's no excuse not to win that game. And so 100%, we should beat the Suns. But you know, with how we saw Anthony Davis play in the second half against the Nuggets, putting up a goose egg, only taking one shot in the fourth quarter, if we had that situation happen again, we might not beat the Suns, you know? So Torian Prince couldn't be our best player. And in this game, it was actually quite interesting because I'm pretty sure, hold on, I'm pulling up the box score. In that game, Torian Prince was our worst player, probably. He played 18 minutes, went 0-for-5, 0 points. He had 3 personal fouls, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, and missed a 3. So he was probably our worst player. I mean, it's crazy because, oh no, his plus minus was minus 15, which was the highest on the team. So Torian Prince was definitely not our best player, and Anthony Davis was our best player. He put up 30 points. He went 10 for 17 from the field. He went 1 for 2 from 3, 9 for 10 from the free throw line, which, you know, if you've been following the Lakers the last few seasons, Anthony Davis has not been, I don't know, he just hasn't been as great of a free throw shooter. You know, he'll go like 6 for 10 in the game or whatever, but going 9 for 10, that's huge. He had 3 offensive rebounds, 9 defensive rebounds for a total of 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, 3 steals. Just a great game overall from Anthony Davis in 39 minutes. But before we get into more into like the individual stats, overall the Lakers did not, I would say they didn't play great. You know, we shot 17% from 3. We went 5 for 29, 17.2% from the 3-point line, and we still managed to win the game, which is huge. But looking at like the box score, right? Like the Lakers were down at halftime. They were not in a situation. They were down 30-18 after the first quarter. They made a run and they outscored the Suns 30-22 in the second quarter, but we're still down in the at halftime. And then coming out in the third quarter, we came out flat again. We lost that quarter 32-24. And it wasn't until the fourth quarter where we kind of turned things around and figured out what to do. And a big shout out goes to Christian Wood, who he played the entire fourth quarter. He had defensive assignments on Kevin Durant and lived up to, you know, he played good defense. He might not have stopped Kevin Durant every single time, but he was doing enough to either make Durant have to pass. He forced a few misses. Anthony Davis played some good defense on Kevin Durant down the stretch. And it was, you know, enough for the Lakers to pull it out. And the big story here is that the Lakers held the Suns to only 11 points in the fourth quarter, which it's not unprecedented for the Lakers to do that. I mean, we saw that multiple times in the playoffs last season where the Lakers held teams to like 11 or 9 or 13 points in one quarter, leading to a win at the end. And so they came out flat in the third quarter, but they stepped up in the fourth and did what needed to be done to win the game. Another storyline going on in general is just the minutes restriction for LeBron and whether he has one or not. You know, I think I saw a report that said that LeBron would ideally play like 28 to 32 minutes in a game. And the Lakers are going to do whatever they can to not let him go over 32 minutes a game, just, you know, given his age and whatnot, and making sure that we don't run him into the ground before the playoffs start. And he did have to play 35 minutes in the game against the Suns on Thursday. I think Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Christian Wood all had to play the entire fourth quarter. Which at the end of the day, you do what you got to do to win games, right? Like I talked about this in the last episode about how, you know, you want to go in and you want to beat your division rivals, you know. For the Lakers, that means the Suns, the Warriors, the Clippers, the Kings, I think. You know, so you want to go and you want to beat your division rivals, because even though it doesn't matter, like if you're like in other sports, if you're the top of your division, you get like an automatic playoff berth or whatever. The NBA doesn't work that way. I mean, if you're the top of your division, you're probably somewhere in the 1-8 seed in the playoffs, you know. Or I guess 1-10 seed with the play-in tournament and everything. But that being number one in your division doesn't mean as much in basketball or in the NBA as it does in other sports. But you do play your division rivals more than any other team during the season, you know. So you might play an Eastern Conference team, I think, like twice, you know, one at home, one away. You play your division rival, I think, four times a season. And then you play, like, the other, you know, Western Conference teams. I actually don't know the full setup, but it's something along those lines. And so, you know, the Lakers will see the Suns, I think, three more times this season. Let me see if it lists like the upcoming games. Whoops, went away from it. So the Lakers play the Suns. Does it tell me? Let's see. Yeah, three more times this season. So we played the first game already in the second game of the season, and we got a win, which is huge. And obviously, like, you want to do what you can to get a season sweep against the teams that you play the most, which will lead to a better record. And, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense. But the Suns, that's why you want to focus on your division rivals and playing, you know, beating them and winning those games more so even than maybe other games because, you know, and the Kings, so the Lakers play the Kings next tonight on Sunday, and they're a division rival too. So we have four games against them this season, and we're playing a division rival in game three of the season. So getting a win there, while it might not feel like a big deal, whether we win or lose that game, it could come down to seeding, and, you know, you just never know how the season plays out. And part of the reason why I downplayed the loss to the Nuggets a little bit in game one was, one, just because it's the first game of the season, right? Like, you just can't take that much out of it. And so, yeah, we play the Nuggets three times. So I guess that's how it works, is you play your division rival four times, you play other Western Conference teams three times, and then you play the Eastern Conference teams twice if you're a Western Conference team. So we play the Nuggets three times. So you still want to win as many of those games against other fellow Western Conference teams as well, because, you know, again, seeding matters and stuff. And the teams that you play the most, you have more opportunities to get wins, so you want to beat those teams. Anyways, I'm beating a dead horse, I feel like, here. So it's, you know, it's a, it is important to get those wins, even if it's early in the season. And I'm happy to say that the Lakers were able to get that done against the Suns, even though they came out and they looked flat. They didn't look great offensively. They shot poorly. You know, Anthony Davis came out and played well. LeBron was playing pretty well. But, like, we just couldn't get things going, I felt like, overall, offensively. Like, we had another game here where our starting guards really struggled. You know, Austin Reeves had 10 points. He went 4 for 7. D'Angelo Russell went 6 for 16 for 14 points, only 1 for 7 from 3 from D'Lo. You know, I feel like, I know Anthony Davis was the big story against the Nuggets in the second half, against the Nuggets. You know, not scoring any points, only taking one shot in the fourth quarter, yada, yada, yada. I 100% agree. But I think what we've seen so far through two games is really poor guard, like, play from our guards, from our starting guards in D'Lo and Reeves. We have Gabe Vincent came off the bench. He played 35 minutes. He only went 3 for 10 for 7 points, 0 for 5 from 3. I mean, I mentioned earlier that we only shot 17% from three, so it's no surprise that the three-point shooting was bad all, you know, pretty much across the board from just about everybody except for, like, Rui, Reeves, and Davis, who went 1 for 2. All three of them went 1 for 2. But, yeah, like, our, you know, Gabe Vincent didn't play great offensively. He might have stepped up and played well defensively, which is great, you know. Same thing with D'Lo. D'Lo stepped up, and he played some pretty good defense. But, he, you know, I tweeted about this. He ran one of the worst fast breaks I've ever seen. He got a steal. I can't remember what quarter it was in, if it was in the fourth quarter or in the third quarter. Let me see if I can pull it up really quick while I'm talking. But he gets a steal on Kevin Durant. Great steal. And then he is leading a fast break. It was the fourth quarter. 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. We're down by 5, 87 to 82. And D'Lo gets a great steal on Kevin Durant. He's leading a fast break. Gabe Vincent's running down, you know, filling the lane. D'Lo's kind of on the left side of the court. Gabe Vincent's on the right side of the court. And I think it's a basically at that point, technically it's really like a 2-on-1 fast break where Eric Gordon is the defender for the Suns. And there's a point where if D'Lo just passes the ball to Gabe Vincent right when Gabe Vincent hits, like, the free throw line, then he probably would have had either a wide open layup or Eric Gordon would have to crash down and would probably have fouled Gabe Vincent. But for some unspeakable reason, or D'Lo doesn't pass the ball. He holds on to it, dribbles it out, and then passes to Gabe Vincent. Well, because he doesn't pass it, then the lane gets all clogged, right? Because you had AD coming to fill the lane to get either the putback or rebound, offensive rebound. But instead, he almost, like, runs into D'Lo, who still has the ball in the key. D'Lo dribbles it out, passes it to Gabe Vincent, who is at the corner, like, behind the three-point line in the corner. He just passes it right back to D'Lo, who takes the three and misses it. You know, it just was a terrible fast break. And this is a point in the game where the Lakers have been down for most of the game. We're starting, you know, making some headway, making a comeback. We're down by 5. There's 8 minutes to go in the game. Time's winding down. You know, there's still time, but the time's winding down. And this is a, you know, a fast break opportunity where you can really get momentum to shift. You can get a quick bucket, make it a 3-point game. And instead, you get just a bad three, you know, in a night where, like, the 3-pointers just weren't falling too. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, that after that, the Nuggets went down and hit a three and made it an 8-point game with 8 minutes left. And at that point in the game, you almost feel like, oh, wow, like, can the Lakers actually make it happen, you know? And they did, obviously. Like, we figured it out. We, you know, LeBron and AD attacked the basket. They started scoring, and, you know, we started being able, you know, Christian Wood stepped up defensively to get stops. Anthony Davis stepped up against Durant to get stops. We got those stops. The Suns missed a few three-pointers, which was nice. We were able to go back down and convert and hit some shots and ultimately win the ball game 195. It should never have been that close, right? Like, we in this scenario where there's no Devin Booker, no Bradley Beal, and just Kevin Durant, like, there's no reason why we shouldn't have won that game by 10 points. But, you know, I get it. It's early in the season. we're trying to figure things out with some of the new guys. Like, how does Christian Wood fit in next to Anthony Davis? How does he fit in? How does Gabe Vincent fit in? How do we rotate? Does Rui only played 12 minutes in this game, which I don't know. I don't understand the thought process in the rotation, right? Why Gabe Vincent got 35 minutes, Rui got 12 minutes. I guess I did mention like our guard play has been pretty poor between D'Lo and Reeves, just bad shooting, not converting buckets. So maybe Ham is trying to get Vincent in there to try and like get a spark offensively. Maybe he can hit some threes or something. But I like Rui's size, obviously, and I feel like he should be playing more than 12 minutes in a game personally. But Rui went in 12 minutes, went 2 for 3, hit 1 3, scored 7 points. I don't fully understand that rotation totally. But what I will say, I liked the biggest thing that I liked that came out of this game was what we saw in the fourth quarter, right? Like holding the Suns to 11 points in the fourth quarter. I liked seeing Christian Wood playing alongside Anthony Davis. I think they mentioned this on the Laker Film Room podcast, where having a big playing next to Anthony Davis is awesome from a rebounding standpoint, because, you know, let's just say Anthony Davis gets pulled up guarding Kevin Durant out, at the 3-point line, and Kevin Durant takes a three. Then who's down there crashing to get a rebound? Your next tallest guy on the court is likely LeBron James, who, LeBron can go down and he's 6'9". He can get rebounds. But let's just say that you have a lineup with the Suns where you have Nurkic in and Kevin Durant in. LeBron, it's going to be a lot harder for LeBron to go up and get a rebound with Nurkic down there than it would be for someone like Christian Wood. So the rebounding that Christian Wood provided in the fourth quarter, the defense he provided was really nice. And it was really nice that you don't have Anthony Davis having to close out on someone or guard someone at the 3-point line and then also try and crash the board and get a rebound. It just makes his life a little easier. And, I've said this since last season. Like, I like seeing Anthony Davis play alongside another big. It frees up space for him, both defensively and offensively, to just kind of do his own thing. Like, he's not the one sole big man on the floor for the Lakers. And I know we live in a modern NBA world where bigs maybe aren't quite as important as they used to be in the early 2000s or in the 90s or the 80s, but I still think, like, there's a reason why the last few championship teams have been the Lakers with Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, right? Like, the Lakers are at their best usually playing a big lineup. You have the Bucks, who won with Giannis and Brook Lopez, two bigs. The only team recently since the Lakers won in 2020 would be the Warriors, who play small, right? Like, Draymond's your big guy there. But that was an interesting championship where they went up against the Celtics, who they have big guys, obviously, but they're not like as key in their offensive or defensive scheme, right? Like, it's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are two like forward type size players. And then that was 2022. And then 2023, you have the Nuggets, who won with obviously Jokic, who's a big man. And then he plays alongside like MPJ, who I know MPJ doesn't play like a big, but he's still 6 foot like 10 or something. So since the Lakers won in 2020, and I'm trying to think before that, but before that, I think was the Raptors before the Lakers won. And obviously they had their superstar was Kawhi. That one was a little different, kind of more similar to like the Celtics team, I feel like, from a personnel standpoint, maybe. I guess they had Pascal Siakam and they had Marc Gasol, So anyway, every team needs a big, I think. I feel like the Warriors are kind of like an outlier type team that have won without a traditional big. At least a traditional big that like plays a really key role as like either a superstar or close to superstar type role, right? Like, otherwise it's been like Anthony Davis, it's been Giannis, it's been Jokic, You have these, and people might say, like, with the Lakers, LeBron was the best player on those teams. Well, yeah, but like Anthony Davis was pretty consistently the best player for the Lakers throughout that whole season. You know, he played a really pivotal role in helping the Lakers achieve being the one seed that season. So, you know, between Anthony Davis, Giannis, Jokic, right? Like, the teams that are winning championships still have a really a good big man and play a big lineup, you know? So even though we live in this world where there's more three-pointer shot and you know, people might try to play small ball, I still think that the big man is extremely important to winning championships. So all that to be said is it's nice to see Anthony Davis playing alongside another big, you know, and is Christian Wood a championship caliber big to play next to Anthony Davis? We'll find out this season. You know, I think that he has a lot of talent. If he can step up and play defense more consistently like he did in that fourth quarter, then that would convince me. You know, I think that was one of the keys with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard on the team with Anthony Davis, is like, we didn't necessarily need them a ton offensively. They did provide some rim running and some alley-oop type stuff and putbacks and offense rebounds and that kind of stuff. But it was more important. They're more important defensively when they're on the floor. And I think same thing will go for Christian Wood, where he can provide – Christian Wood can provide more offensively than probably Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee could in that season. But it'll be more important that he steps up and plays good defense for the Lakers. So, so it was good to see him do that, at least for one quarter. You know, now it's a matter of, like, can he do that for an entire game throughout multiple quarters, you know, and whatnot. And he's shown that he can do it at least through one quarter. And, you know, I mean, he played 21 minutes, so throughout the game, but specifically in that fourth quarter. So it's nice to get a win. Nice to get a win against the Suns, obviously. Nice to get our first win. Nice to get the win in our first, you know, the home opener of the season. So overall, I will say it was a frustrating game for like the first three quarters for sure. But the Lakers proved to us that they can get things done when they need to, you know. And I referenced the Laker Film Room podcast on my podcast a lot, which is funny. But they were talking a lot about how, like, it almost seems like the Lakers for the first three quarters were trying to do what they want to do this season, you know, which they haven't fully maybe perfected or shown that they can perfectly execute. And then, you know, they were kind of stumbling through the first three quarters trying to do what they want to do this season. And then in the fourth quarter, they're like, oh, well, shit, we're, you know, we're in this position where we're down in the fourth quarter. We need to win this game. So we're just going to do what works for us, you know, which you could argue, like, why don't they just do what works for them, like what they did in the fourth quarter throughout the whole game? But I feel like early on in the season with the new personnel and stuff, they're just trying new things out and stuff. So we'll see kind of how things progress, obviously, as the season goes and stuff. But ultimately, getting the win is what's important. And the Lakers got the win, 195. Good games from Anthony Davis, from LeBron. Great game from Christian Wood defensively. And we managed to get the win with another pretty poor bench performance. You know, like Rui, Christian Wood, Gabe Vincent all came in with 7 points. Cam Reddish had 4 points. And, you know, from an offensive standpoint, just not a great offensive night for really anyone outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis. So that's kind of, you know, hopefully that's just something that we need to, you know, kick some rust off and get back into the rhythm and, you know, figure out how they play next to each other and all those things. So ultimately really great to get the win against the Suns, 195 to move to 1-1. I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to talk a little bit about the Kings. All right, so let's talk about the Lakers game against the Kings tonight. So the Kings, they're playing the game up in Sacramento. The Kings so far are 1-1 in the season as well, just like the Lakers. The Kings so far have played the Jazz and the Warriors. They beat the Jazz 130-114 as their first game of the season on the road at Utah. They put up 40 points in the second quarter in that game. They put up over 30 points in three quarters, 32 in the first, 40 in the second, 33 in the third. In that game, let's see, leading scorer was Harrison Barnes, 33 points. You had De'Aaron Fox with 18 points. Sabonis at 22 points. Murray at 15 points. So That was a pretty good game against the Jazz. And then they lost to the Warriors 122-114. That was a game at home where the Warriors put up similar scores, 36 in the second and 39 in the third against the Kings in that game. This is a rematch, obviously, of the first round of the Western Conference playoffs between them. And the Warriors get the win there. Steph put up 41 in that game, went 7 for 10 from 3. So just a great Steph game there. De'Aaron Fox came in with 39 points in that game, which is insane. And what I will say, what worries me a little bit about the Lakers, you know, just trying to think of the matchup, right? Like who guards who, who's the biggest threat on the Kings, you know, and the Kings, they have, you know, like we saw Harrison Barnes can score some points. Sabonis can score some points. De'Aaron Fox. Let's see. Malik Monk can put up points, you know? So, when I think about this, the matchup and stuff, the person that scares me the most is De'Aaron Fox. Sabonis, not as much, because you can throw, Anthony Davis at him from a defensive standpoint. Christian Wood, you know, if he can step up and keep playing good defense, maybe Christian Wood can step up and play defense against him. But like I've mentioned before, like from a overall in general, our guards haven't been playing as good. You know, D'Angelo Russell's, he's been playing some pretty pesky defense in a good way. Gabe Vincent, he's kind of like an energy guy that can come in and play some defense, but not having Jared Vanderbilt in this game kind of worries me. You know, Jared Vanderbilt's a guy that you can throw up against just about anybody. I mean, anybody that's, you know, like a wing and smaller. Like, we could throw him against De'Aaron Fox and, you know, might not be the perfect matchup, but he's a guy that can keep up with him. He's bigger, so he can kind of contain him a little bit. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is super quick, so it's a challenge, obviously. But not having Jared Vanderbilt in this game does hurt us a little bit, I think, just because he's another body that you can throw at De'Aaron Fox. Whereas, like, you know, Austin Reeves, I don't think can really stay in front of him. D'Angelo Russell isn't really quick enough to stay in front of him. Gabe Vincent, he's probably the closest in terms of quickness to be able to stay in front of De'Aaron Fox. But even then, like, De'Aaron Fox is a fast, quick twitch type player that gets to the hoop really easily. You know, thinking about this from, like, if you were thinking about it as, like, a playoff matchup, like, what would the Kings do to try and beat the Lakers in a playoff series? And what they would do is what we saw the Warriors do against the Lakers is try and bring Anthony Davis out from, you know, get him out of the key, get him away from the basket. You can kind of do that with Sabonis because he can hit some threes and stretch the floor. So that's why I think, in a way, since we don't have Jared Vanderbilt to chase around De'Aaron Fox, having a big like Christian Wood play defense that can just provide more length and size and rim protection is going to help us a lot. You know, maybe you put, let me see, pulling up their, like, who starts for them. So, De'Aaron Fox. So you have Herter, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, Sabonis started against the Warriors. You know, you put, I guess, Reeves on Herter. I think D'Lo has to guard De'Aaron Fox. Or maybe what they'll do is they'll put Taurean Prince on De'Aaron Fox, probably. You know, especially with Jared Vanderbilt being hurt and stuff. He's, like, the next best guy we have to, like, kind of chase guys around like that. Maybe LeBron on Harrison Barnes. Davis on Sabonis. And D'Lo on Keegan Murray. I mean, Keegan Murray's 6'8", though. Like, I don't necessarily love that. I don't know. I feel like lately with, I don't know, I feel like in the last few matchups that we've had with both D'Lo and Reeves, we've had a pretty significant mismatch where we're not in favor. you know, like, I guess you could have D'Lo try guarding De'Aaron Fox, but I don't know, you know, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, you can switch things up as the game goes on, which is, you know, how things work, obviously. But it's just, I don't love the matchup from a guard standpoint. You know, we can throw the bigs in there and provide some rim protection, and that could maybe help keep De'Aaron Fox from attacking the basket. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily stop him from getting to, like, the free throw line and pulling up and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see what the Lakers decide to do from a, you know, from a matchup standpoint to start the game. And then obviously as the game goes on, we'll, you know, they'll make adjustments and figure it out and stuff. But I do feel like generally speaking, like our matchups from a defensive standpoint, there's been a few mismatches that make things a little harder on us. And part of that is like playing Jokic right in the first game. Like he's a mismatch nightmare. Same thing with MPJ, right? Like a team that has MPJ and Jokic and Aaron Gordon in their starting lineup is going to be tough. And he, you know, playing the Suns with Kevin Durant, he's a mismatch nightmare being 7 foot tall in a forward or a wing type player, you know? So those two teams definitely obviously have mismatch players in Durant and Jokic on their own. And then, in this case, just with not having like a great defensive guard on the team, now that Schroeder's gone, there leaves us a little bit vulnerable, I feel like, from a defensive standpoint at the point guard position. So it'll be interesting to see how we do against De'Aaron Fox. But I think that's the key, right? Like, I think that we can shut down Sabonis between our bigs. I think that both him and, you know, I think Anthony Davis can, we'll see Anthony Davis be able to stop Sabonis defensively. And I think from an offensive standpoint, he can also kind of play Sabonis to a point. I mean, Anthony Davis can, there's not many players in the league that can stop Anthony Davis from an offensive and defensive standpoint. So I think the quickness that the Kings have between Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox is the biggest threat. And that's kind of what their biggest threat was all season last season too, is they're quick, they can score fast. Now, what can the Lakers do to slow the game down or control the pace? Because the Lakers don't want to slow the game down so much that they can't score themselves. Because I do think the Lakers, you know, I feel like LeBron teams, between LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're at their best when they're, you know, getting defensive stops and pushing the ball. And in general, that's just, I feel like how, you know, basketball is played that way. I think you're at your best when you're pushing the ball and in fast break situations. But they're not going to be as quick of a team as the Kings. Like, we won't be able to run with them, you know, pace for pace. So we'll have to slow the game down to a certain degree, or just control the pace ourselves, get stops, push the ball on our end, but not get into a running match, because getting into a running match with De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk is a recipe for disaster for the Lakers. So right now, you know, ESPN analytics has the Kings as 54% favorites against the Lakers. I think it looks like the money line is -2.5 in favor of the Kings. So it, you know, from a betting standpoint, people see this to be a close game. I tend to agree. I think that in the West, right, like the Kings are one of those teams that are going to be contending for a top four seed, probably, I would imagine. You know, I think they were a three seed last season. They'll probably contend for a top four seed again this season. So, and hopefully the Lakers are doing the same. So I think this game will be a close game. It's, you know, like we talked about in terms of division rivals, right? Like, this is the first of four games against the Kings. So we have three more chances to beat them after this game, but it would be nice to go ahead and get a win early in the season, get a win out of the way and keep moving on, you know? So obviously, like, when it comes to previewing games, you know, the answers, the questions to what do the Lakers need to do to win are kind of easy in a sense, right? It's you need Anthony Davis to score the basketball. You need to have him engaged both offensively and defensively. You need LeBron to put in about 20 points a game. Obviously, like, the bench play is important. You need Rui to come in, or Gabe Vincent to come in off the bench and score some points, or Christian Wood. Hitting threes would be nice, but obviously we've shown that if we play defense, we can win a game shooting 17% from three. So obviously the three-pointers are nice, but if we're not shooting 40 threes in a game, it's not like the most crucial. And then, you know, we just need one more guy to step up, right? Whether it's Christian Wood, whether it's Taurean Prince, whether it's Reeves or D'Lo, we need, you know, from an offensive standpoint, one more guy to kind of step up, you know. And maybe it's a mix, right? In the last game, there wasn't really anyone outside of Anthony Davis putting up 30, LeBron with 21. There wasn't really anyone else that, like, had an astounding astoundingly great game offensively, right? You had 14 from D'Lo, 10 from Reeves, 7 each from Gabe and Rui and Christian Wood. You know, you even had 0 points from Torian Prince in that game. So if we play defense, you can obviously weather a storm where you're not hitting as many shots or you're struggling offensively. But it would be great to put both of those things together and have a good offensive and defensive game and just win the game, you know. So, again, it's easy to kind of predict, like, what do the Lakers need to do to win? It's you need Anthony Davis and LeBron James to play really well. From an offensive standpoint, I'd love to see the pick and roll continuously, you know. Pick and roll, get Anthony Davis going to the basket, attacking the basket, staying aggressive. LeBron has seemed to still have a pep in his step. I mean, we're only 2 games in, but he seems to have a pep in his step. He's attacking the basket, so seeing more of that is awesome. And then we just need Reeves and D'Lo to you know, just get their shots to start falling. They're getting good looks, I feel like, for the most part. So if they can just start to get the shots to fall, that'll help a ton. And then figuring it out defensively from a guard standpoint is going to be kind of a struggle, I think, this entire season, you know. And again, once Jared Vanderbilt comes back, he does kind of provide a little bit of slack in a way for the guards, because he can step up and he can guard someone like Steph Curry, or he can guard De'Aaron Fox. He can kind of run with those types of players and help alleviate some of the, you know, some of the stress on D'Lo or Austin Reeves or Gabe Vincent from a defensive standpoint. So getting him back will be huge, but obviously he's still hurt, so he won't be playing against the Kings tonight. So it'll just be big, you know, how can we stop De'Aaron Fox? How can we keep him from getting to the basket? How can we not foul him and just play good defense? Because if you play good defense, you can score 100 points and win a game. But if you're not playing good defense and you score 100 points, you're going to lose by 10 or 20 points. You know, you're going to get blown out of that game. So I feel like this game is a bit of a toss-up. You know, I think that I would like to predict the Lakers can win this game. We definitely should win this game, in my opinion. But the Kings do have a lot of weapons, you know, between Sabonis and Harrison Barnes and Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox. Like, they have guys that can put the ball in the hoop and challenge our guys defensively and, like, offensively against our defense. So it's, you know, if we come out and play slow and don't have our stuff together to start the game, then I could see Sacramento running away with this game quick, and it could be hard to get back into the game with how fast they can move the ball and get the ball in the hoop and all that stuff. So I'd like to say that we can win this game. It'll be a bit of a coin flip in my mind, but I do think that if Anthony Davis steps up and plays defense, if Christian Wood comes in and plays some defense and we can get things starting to click offensively, then there's no reason why we shouldn't win this game and advance to 2-1 on the season with 2 wins early against division rivals. So I think that'd be huge. Before I end the episode, just a reminder to feel free to text the text line that we have open for the podcast at 424-242-3076. I have it posted between Instagram and Twitter, so if you want to look up on there, you can find the number there. Text us as the game's going on. Text us before the game how you're feeling, or after the game how you're feeling, your thoughts, and we'll talk about it on the podcast. I appreciate you guys so much for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won!